Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Ministry Along the Way Radio. My name is Demetria, and I'm here with
Tanya. Happy Tuesday, everyone.
Yes, another Tuesday.
Another Tuesday.
So we're back again in the blue room.
Yes, we are, and it is mighty blue in here. I won't give it away right now, but it is blue. In a good way, in a good way.
Yeah, blue can sometimes people think you're sad and down.
No, we're not sad.
Not in the blue room.
No, it's a peaceful blue.
No,
yeah, we go for that.
And just in case you didn't know, blue is the best color. That's just my opinion.
This lady loves blue. Her telephone is blue. The cover of your nails are blue. Yeah, you love
blue. Yeah, I love blue.
How was the weekend?
I had a good weekend, but I was tired. I was tired.
You were saying that over the phone.
I did. I went to sleep really late. Friday night, so I slept in Saturday. I really slept in. So,
okay.
Like, one. Like, really slept in.
Oh, you, yeah. Okay.
And then I got up and cleaned and pretty much stuck around the house, you know.
We need that. We need that day of breathing. We need that Sabbath day, you know, so to speak. A day of rest.
Yeah. A day of rest.
We do.
A day of rest.
We do. So we have an exciting topic. Topic to discuss on today. Last week was pretty good. It was heavy and got some good feedback about it as well. A really good topic. And today we have another wonderful topic, and we have a guest with us.
We sure do.
Someone you know really well.
I do. This is a friend, Mindy is her name, Mindy Salinger, and I'm so glad that she's here with us. Can't wait to hear from her. I'm just going to introduce you real quick right now, Mindy, and then I want to tell everybody how this topic even came up, because you had something to do with that. But this is Mindy.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the Blue Room and to Ministry Along the Way Radio.
Thank you very much.
Love your blue room.
You're warm and welcome.
I'm glad. Mindy actually pastors a church with her husband. You want to tell us a little about that?
Yes, we pastor a church in Kenner, Louisiana. It's called Latter-day Ministry Church of His Outpouring. It's on Florida Street, right off Williams Boulevard, all the way to Vintage, and make a right on Florida if anybody ever wants to come visit us. We are just a five-fold ministry church where we help a lot of people that come in and get them going in the ministry and speak into their lives. Mm-hmm. And it's just fun. We're really enjoying it.
And I have been. I have visited, and I love the way they do Bible study, I must say.
Amen. Yes. Yes, we all just sit around.
What do you like so much about the Bible study? Everybody participates.
Okay.
You know, it's not just everybody. It's just you're at the round table like King Arthur and men. They're all at the round table, so nobody's like over anybody. Everybody's equal, and everybody gets to share. They break the scripture down, and I loved it.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And that's what we want to give everybody an opportunity to participate and to be able to talk. And the Holy Spirit just begins to reveal through that talking and right there at the table.
Right. Even there, you're able to, with that insight that you get, or maybe something you might be struggling with, and it's addressed right there. You know, I don't understand that scripture, or, you know, I always thought it meant this, and then people get to kind of add in and maybe help add some clarity to it as God has given the revelation to them. I just loved it. I don't think
Amen.
That's happening enough.
Amen. 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 Thank
you. Sounds very intimate.
It is.
That's a good way to put it.
That's
a really good way to put it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, Mindy, this weekend, I was checking in on Facebook, and we are Facebook friends, and she actually put a comment on a post that I put up.
Okay.
A picture. And she made this comment, and I was trying to pull the show together for tonight,
mm-hmm.
and I had my idea, and I was going with it, and then when I read her, God just spoke. So she said, "Look, I love the road sign. I put up a picture of a road sign, and she's like, I love it." And this is what she said: "I love the road signs. They're the signs of faith, the way back home. Follow the road signs." In a nutshell, that's what she said. I was like, Mindy, I have to send her a message immediately. That Mindy, God just used you. He just spoke.
I mean, she has that gift, a way of pulling things out of a discussion someone has had.
She does.
Or, you posted that on Facebook. That's like a discussion. And she just has that gift for pulling something out. So that's amazing.
That's what came up. Life Under Construction.
Okay.
Road Signs to Victory. Yeah. And that's how the show, that's how the thought came.
Cool.
God speaks.
Yeah.
He speaks clearly.
Yes,
he does in ways that we don't know of, in ways that we're not looking for. And that's kind of what the road signs are, right?
That's correct. The road signs is a vehicle, in a sense, is like it's a vehicle to get to where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the road signs as the road signs are signs of faith when we see them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're in a car, in order to keep our car on the journey, I mean, faith is effortless. The
yeah.
road signs are effortless.
Mm-hmm.
To yield, to do a U-turn.
Right.
To do all those things are just effortless.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't even have to think or come up with a plan. We just follow the directions that we've been given.
Why is it that we don't implement that same practice in life? Because I keep hearing you say effortless. And a lot of times, even with the road signs that we see or that God will show us, you know, as we journey along the way, we miss it.
We do.
And we make it complicated. And we beat our heads against the wall still trying to figure it out. So it's not like we're driving, you know, a trip from Louisiana to Texas and we're just doing it effortlessly.
Right.
Like you just said.
Right.
Why do you think that is, Mindy? What's the struggle?
I think the struggle is that we're trying to do our own walk. We're
mm-hmm.
trying to participate in, you know, it's kind of like law and grace. Grace, when Jesus came, He did away with the law. He did
yes.
away with the law.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by faith that we're saved. And
mm-hmm.
these are the road signs that we're looking at. We're looking at yielding by faith,
mm-hmm.
okay? And faith is not striving.
Mm-hmm.
Yielding is not striving. Faith is not striving. Faith is surrender.
Yes.
It's the white flag, just like yielding. It's the white flag. And one day I came to a yielding sign, and I was having trouble in my life. And this is how I came to know what the Lord wanted me to do. He said, just yield. Just surrender.
That's simple.
And that's effortless. And that's how grace is. Ephesians 2:8-9 says that it is by grace that we're saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, but it's a gift of God that no man can boast. So on our journey, we have to give God credit. We have to
yes.
let Him do things in us. And it is effortless. That's the war. I'm going to fix my life. I'm going to do everything. Or we're going to surrender to God, and we're going to let grace lead the way, which grace is the power of God to do what we can't do.
Yes.
It's His power working in us.
Yes. You know what, the title, I'm going to say the title again. Before I do, I think we forgot to give some instructions.
We didn't forget. We didn't forget. You know, we
yeah.
have such loyal listeners at this point. I think
mm-hmm.
some of them do know. And I'm glad you know, it went the way it did. We didn't forget.
Okay.
I was going to give them the phone number.
Okay.
I got your back on that.
Okay.
I got your back.
Okay.
But since we have been reminded to do that, let's just say it. You know, the telephone number to call in to be a part of this discussion is area code 347-637-3604. And if you want to chat with us while we're discussing, what can you do, Missy?
You can push the number 1 on your telephone, and we'll add you to the conversation.
That's it. You gave a really good example of driving. You know, I'm a, like you said, I'm a visual person, and I like that example because when I get in a car and I am driving to work or to the mall, I don't think about the route there. I'm used to it. I just, you know, just
right.
go, you know. And you're right. We pass speed signs, we pass all these signs, and we just, you know, we naturally flow with it. You said you came to a yield sign spiritually, and that's what I'm assuming you were talking about?
Yes.
What was that like for you? Just for listeners who don't fully understand what you mean when you said you came to this yield sign and God told you just surrender, and you did. Explain to us that whole process around just really surrendering and then the benefit of doing that.
Amen. Well, the surrendering part is like you laying down and you giving up trying to make this thing work for you in life. Mm-hmm. You give it to God. Like I said, it's effortless. And he wants to be in control of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we want to take control of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But the road signs are reminders as we're on our way and on our journey and on our way out. They're reminders to yield to him. They're reminders to give our lives unto him,
mm-hmm.
because that's what he wants. And when we lay it down, he does it.
Yeah, yeah.
When I think about the road signs, think about somebody who did some studying and designing this, put the stop sign where it should go. They put it there for a reason,
mm-hmm.
you know, put the stoplight or the yield sign, the slippery when wet sign. They put it there for a reason. They looked and they said,
for protection, huh?
We need to put something here, right?
Safety.
Mm-hmm. So, again, it's a safeguard. We have a master designer or a master planner who kind of knows where the signs need to go in our lives, especially when our lives are broken, or at least we feel like they're broken or off course.
Yeah.
And that's the part of life under construction. The first sign I thought of was under construction sign. You know,
mm-hmm.
something being broken up or torn down and built back up better. And my goodness, has my life not been like that from time to time, and probably will be again in the future. You know,
yes.
I like work that. Going on.
Yes, I like
a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
I like that because. I was thinking when you had said that about how the Word of God says that we're his workmanship.
Yes.
We're his masterpiece. Yes. We're his artwork. And he wants to show us and shine through us to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to know that on our journey. We have to.
So when your life is under construction, that doesn't sound too good. You know, like
for most people, it sounds like you're somewhere down and out. But is that necessarily, does that necessarily mean that?
I don't know. I guess it depends on the situation, maybe,
mm-hmm.
or what you're facing, what you're up against. But to me, it sounds like a place of brokenness, which isn't always bad, but doesn't always feel good. If I could say it that way.
Yeah.
So when you're in that place of being under construction and you start to see the road signs, I want to say this. If I'm under construction, I'd like to, you know, look at me, see if there's some signs there that I'm under construction. I'm talking about people who are close to me. I would like that so that you know this isn't her normal behavior. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I don't want to take offense. So if I look at you or you, Mindy, or somebody I'm close to, and I know your normal habits, I need to read the signs and say, something's going on with Mindy.
And you're meaning if somebody's going through something.
Right. Yeah. So maybe they snapped at me, but that's not their regular behavior. So maybe they're under construction right now, and I need to realize that there's a work in progress going on right here.
Amen. What if you're under the construction if it's a new career change and you're trying to adapt to a new environment or situation? So when we say brokenness,
mm-hmm.
If it's not an emotional brokenness, but just really you're in this new journey of life and God is getting ready to take you to a different place. And I kind of say that in a little bit as I'm talking. I think about myself where I used to kind of sit on the sidelines. And I didn't want to participate in God's kingdom. Like, I just, I didn't want to yield. I didn't want to yield. I didn't. I knew what that meant. That meant letting go some stuff that I thought was so important to my life. And now I'm finding out, oh, my goodness, it was not. So sometimes God will push us to a new place, and that in itself can be an under construction process, that he's bringing you to a new place for his kingdom building. And I would have to tell you, I sat as a spectator for a long time.
Yeah.
And I like where I'm sitting now.
Yeah.
I love it.
Amen. Amen. And I would say, don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give up, because we're all at a place in our lives right now just like that,
mm-hmm.
because we grow from faith to faith,
mm-hmm.
from glory to
glory.
So I'm facing a situation in my life right now where the Lord wants to step me up.
Mm-hmm.
And when he wants to step us up, we have to yield things to him,
mm-hmm.
such as where you wanted to sit on the sideline,
mm-hmm.
you didn't want to participate, you didn't want to, and that's exactly how we all get, because we're not seeing what we need,
mm-hmm.
and we want what we need, and because we don't see it, we just quit. But that's when the Lord is wanting us to surrender. That's when he wants us to look up and say, Lord, I look to you, and I will allow you to lead my life.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen.
And so that's where he's wanting to get us, in that place.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Beatitudes. They're all about our attitudes. And the first one in Matthew 5:1, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit,
mm-hmm.
for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And poor in spirit means that you are always depending on God.
That's where he wants
everything.
That's where he wants it.
Amen.
Yeah.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
And see, and then all of our flesh and all of our desires, he doesn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to depend on him. That's what prayer is about.
Yes.
It's not reciting prayer after prayer.
No.
It's depending on God.
Constant communicating with him for everything. Yes.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. Acknowledging that he's our Lord.
Amen.
He's the Lord of our life. Yeah.
Mindy, we talked about the road signs. Tell us about one of the signs that speaks to you.
Well, one of the signs that I really, really like, I will talk about emergency parking only.
Okay.
One time I was like, I got a flat tire, and that's when that road sign came alive to me. And I'm like, emergency parking only. Check this out. So there's a little place where there's shelter on the highway if you get in danger, and it's so like God. He loves us, and he protects us, and he shelters us.
Yes.
So sometimes, y'all talking about the under-construction thing, lives were broken down, and there's shelter in the broken-down places. He never leaves us.
He never.
Never.
That brokenness is for our for our purpose. It's to serve, to help us. Is what I want to say, is to help us grow closer and closer to God. It's not that he's, because I want to just say that for people who may be listening who are not believers. And so we're not talking about a God who is not compassionate. We're not talking about a God who wants us to walk around in fear of him like he's the boogeyman, right?
Right.
We're talking about if we're walking around just in total chaos, there are times that he will break us in order to save us.
Amen.
Isn't that, and that's love, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, are you a parent?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I am.
So you're a parent. And so if, you're not going to just allow your kids to, when they were growing up, to have a curfew beyond the proper time to come inside, or just run across the street willy-nilly or what have you. You let them know. You safeguarded them. Mm-hmm. You gave them boundaries and rules.
Amen.
And because you love them, right?
Right.
You are a caring parent.
Yes, yes.
And that's how our God is.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. The emergency.
Yes. Emergency parking only. Yes.
Yes.
He makes a way, doesn't he?
He does. And one other thing I'd like to say about it is I know some people that were broken down in their lives and they had addictions in their lives,
mm-hmm.
of certain drugs and doing things like that. And God provided for these people to go into a home and learn about him.
Absolutely.
And to learn about their change, that their life could be different.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's shelter in an emergency situation. You don't get killed and taken away.
He took them.
He took
them out of chaos.
Yes.
Taken out of chaos.
Yeah.
Putting them in a place where they can heal.
Really, an ark of safety.
Amen.
Safety.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sign too.
Safety sign.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
We
have a couple of callers on the switchboard, and I just want you to know, if you want to add your voice to the conversation, go ahead and press the number 1. And Mindy, why don't you go ahead and give us another one of your road signs?
Okay. I like keep right. The road sign keep right. You know, if we keep right in our lives to the right, I love the reminders while you're on the road, because they keep you, your fuel going. That's your gas. Your faith, the faith,
right.
The effortless part,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
So in a life when we don't know which way to go, we can keep right. And it's His righteousness. It's
that's
not
right.
ours.
That's right.
That's the key.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's His. It's effortless again. It's not about us. It's about Him.
How do we do that, Mindy? What does that look like? How do we practice keeping right? And you can give one example. What would you do to encourage someone to keep right and walk with Christ?
Amen. Well, to keep right, you have to walk in His grace.
Mm-hmm.
You can't walk under setting laws for yourself. When we set laws for ourselves, we all know what the results of that will be.
Yes.
We will fail.
Mm-hmm.
We will fail. So we have to walk in the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and we have to walk in Christ Jesus,
mm-hmm.
the vine and the branches. And it says that we are in Christ. So my answer to that would be that we have to walk in grace. We have to be in Him, because the Father, when He looks at us, He loves us to recite, "I am the righteousness
yes.
of Christ Jesus." So this is how He sees you. So this
yes.
is how you must see yourself.
And in order for us to know those jewels, those things that God says about us, we have to study His Word, right? I mean, we have to become familiar with God's Word.
Yes, yes. But you know what,
mm-hmm.
too? The Word of God, when God, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant says that He wrote His laws on our hearts and on our minds,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so that means that if He wrote it there, it's in there. It doesn't mean we don't read our Word. We do read our Word. We need to read our Word. But haven't you ever been talking to somebody and all of a sudden the Word of God comes out of you and you didn't even know that was in you? Then you begin to search in the Word and it's in the Word.
You know, I just would have to say, though, once I opened up the Word, I just have to say, it took off of those blinders.
Amen.
And things just came to light for me. I have to admit that I was walking in darkness until I became more familiar with,
right.
You know, my God's purpose for my life, your life,
right.
Demetria's life,
yeah.
you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, we don't have a evil, wicked heart.
Mm-hmm.
We have to understand.
It's a natural.
We are.
I got you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new heart,
mm-hmm.
and His love is shed abroad in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
He's there. God Himself is there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we keep right. We stay in His grace, in His love, and you stay effortless.
Mm-hmm.
The road signs are reminders that you have to do this thing.
Yeah.
The law wants to do it. Man's effort stinks in the eyes of God. It's what His Son did that brought us into that relationship and reconciled us back to the Father.
And people need to know that and need to understand that. What you're saying is that Jesus lives within us.
Yes.
And that it's innate. It's a part of us. It's a part of who we are. And then, you know, but a lot of people just don't, they're not where you are. They don't get that part. Like, you know, they're not understanding that. And a lot of people are walking in that uncomfortableness because they don't realize the power that they possess through Jesus
Correct.
Christ.
Correct.
Yeah.
That is exactly
yeah.
right.
Mindy, this would be a good time for you to go with Galatians 2:20. I just love to hear you talk Galatians 2:20.
Okay, amen. Amen. Yes, Demetrius was at a conference where Galatians 2:20 is a fantastic scripture. When you are struggling, and you shouldn't be struggling, but if that struggle comes up, you got to know Galatians 2:20 says that I have been crucified with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I no longer live
mm-hmm.
the life that He lives in me,
uh-huh.
and the life that I now live, I live by faith in mm-hmm. the Son of God, who loved me
and gave himself up for me. The problem is the church doesn't realize that when we got saved and born again, we were crucified with Christ to never rise again. The old Mindy doesn't
exist. It's gone. It's gone.
She is dead. Mm-hmm. So my old habits, my old ways, when they pop up, I pay no attention to that because it's not me no more. I have a new life, a new name. I don't live out of that life anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's Christ that lives in me. And then it's like the road sign. I live by faith. We're justified by faith through the Son of God.
Yes. I'm with you on that. And you... Right. Yeah, and just as you are aware of that scripture, and just you talking about it, you see, I mean, that's a part of you. You have hidden that word in your heart, and that's why I say, you know, for people to you know, just dive in and get to know God through the, I call it the guide book, the best self help book ever, you know,
I like that.
Yeah.
I want to mention a sign.
Yes, love
to hear you.
It is called the No Fly Zone. Sometimes there's just some places that I shouldn't go, and I'm like, oh, kind of cruising in that direction. And usually that's sometimes that might be in relationships. Not going to go into details, but sometimes, you know, with the hubby, Mr. Bridges, you know, there's some things that I, some conversations, some topics that would better be left for not now. Not that they should never be addressed. But on occasion, I'll take a trip into that no-fly zone.
Yes.
But again, these are signs that they're going to warn us. What happens when we don't take heed to those signs?
Well, when we don't take heed, we got to remember that God loves us. Mm-hmm. We got to know who we are. Mm-hmm. We got to know that he loves us very much. He's merciful and he's kind. He's not ready to kill and beat us.
He is a loving God. Amen. That's what I mean. He's not this, but mean-spirited.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. He wants to put us back on the highway, the free entrance highway.
Guys, you ought to see the signs. I mean, we have signs all over
the free
us.
Entrance. Way, yes. This highway. Mm-hmm. He wants to put us back on this highway where we're living free in that area. But there's times, like you mentioned, husband and wife, little areas. But those are the times that you get nuggets from the Lord Jesus.
I love that word, nugget.
Yes, you get these precious nuggets from him that just erase that red flag and going down that road. One of the most I got, and I'll just share it because you said that, and about my husband was I was laying in my bed, and I, you know, the Bible says my sheep know my voice. Yeah. I know the Lord's voice. And I heard the Lord say, Mindy. He called my name, but it was my husband's voice. But I knew it was the Lord's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I was tripping out a little bit. I'm like, Lord, what is this about? And he said to me, his voice and my voice are the same in one. And then he took me over into the word when Sarah called her husband Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay for me to call my husband Lord because you know what it says? The king, she was going to go before the king, and Abraham was up nervous. You know, he's telling you're my sister.
Right.
And she obeyed him. And just like we're supposed to obey our husbands in the Lord, he protects us. Well, she goes in there, and the king got a dream. If you touch her, you will die.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So she was protected. But that word Lord actually means that she recognized him as her superior authority.
Yes, wow. He's her father.
Yeah, so the Lord gave you a comfort in that zone of marriage. He's got it. He's the king over my husband.
Mm-hmm.
He's king. And their voices are the same in one, and he's going to protect the woman. And the men are going to make mistakes. We
absolutely
all make mistakes.
Right? Yes.
You know?
So lighten up a little bit, huh?
But again, you're protected when you follow the signs, right?
Yes. That's right. That's right, and they're effortless.
Yes.
So you walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
That way.
And that means if you make a mistake along the way, you know, don't panic.
No.
Don't panic.
No.
Look for the next sign.
That's right.
Just look for the next sign. Just get back up,
that's
get
right.
back on course, and look for the next sign. And that's what I love so much about this new life. Like you said, the old
yes.
life is gone. But
yes.
this new life, it's no pressure.
Yes.
No pressure.
Yes.
None whatsoever. Guys, we wish that you all are enjoying this topic. We are talking about life under construction, road signs to victory. This is Ministry Along the Way, and I am one of your hosts, Tanyelle.
And I'm Demetria.
And we have Mindy in the room, in the blue room with us. We'll be right back. Please don't go anywhere.
Thank you for holding on with us through our break. This is Ministry Along the Way Radio. I'm one of your co-hosts, Demetria.
I am Tanyelle. And who do we have with us, Mindy?
We have Mindy Salinger,
hello.
A friend, sister in Christ, and just a powerhouse.
Amen.
That's the way I described it to Tanyelle, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Last thing, what I mentioned too. But she's a powerhouse. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but she's
And this is my first time hearing about the Facebook conversation.
Amen.
We never like get together in too much talking about
right.
it because we want it to, you know, we want
yeah.
the Spirit to lead us.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, so this is my first time
awesome.
Hearing how she came up with the topic.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome.
Awesome.
All said it was just God leading.
Yes, Spirit led.
Effortless. Exactly.
Amen.
Which
I've
been saying
that.
Since we started the conversation,
so
right?
So far, this entire radio show has been just that, hasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. No
I think so.
Does
mm-hmm.
she?
Yeah. Yeah, it, mm-hmm. it's just been kind of going.
Yeah, it's just flowing. Mm-hmm. Just flowing right along.
Amen.
We were talking about signs.
Mm-hmm.
You said the no-fly
zone. The no-fly zone.
Yeah.
Beware. Stay out of this area. Don't approach it.
If you have so close,
it might get shot down.
We're speaking to the newlywed over here. So,
uh-huh.
You know, so are we learning how to bite our tongue, so to speak? Choose our battles.
I am a work in progress. I am I am under construction, and that is all I will say.
Amen.
That's a confession.
You are
under construction.
You may be just in a different building, but we are all under construction.
That's right.
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah, we are all under construction.
Until we reach our destination, we are. We're on a journey.
Right.
Yes.
We absolutely are, and I'm so glad we don't have to make the journey alone.
Amen.
We have each other. We have the body of Christ. The word of God leading us, giving us signs.
What kind of signs? We're talking about signs here. What does pop out at you?
Well, you know, the rest area sign, the resting part is very important. It's very important. I know I had a girl at our church. She just gave me a word. She's about 21, and she works with us. It's Karen. She plays the guitar.
Yeah.
And she said, hearing the Lord tell me to tell you to rest. And don't think that when you're resting, you're wasting time. And that was so profound because we enter in through the rest.
Yeah.
We don't enter in by our own labors. As a matter of fact, our labors and what we can do hinders us. Because God said, and let's see what scripture that is. I love the scripture. Take my yoke. It's Matthew 11. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. For my yoke is easy. It's better. And my burden is light. And if you notice, the yoke is his commands to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's the grace.
Mm-hmm.
His commands are grace
mm-hmm.
because he doesn't give us anything hard.
No, not at all.
Right.
Not
right.
at all.
It's just the grace. It's the Spirit leading us
mm-hmm.
when he speaks to us. And then it says, and my burden is light.
Mm-hmm.
And that word burden means his invoice for us for the day is light.
Mm-hmm.
It's light.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want us carrying heavy
stuff. Isn't that something, what I hear you saying is an exchange. This heavy load that I've been carrying, God is saying, give me your load and I'm going to give you mine. So there's an exchange happening right here.
Yes, yes.
I just completed a class today, and it was every Tuesday, called Breathe. And it was all around taking those rests. And we were learning more about the Sabbath. And knowing that what you just said, the young lady told you, that basically don't feel guilty that you're going to have this period of rest because we need that. God doesn't want us to overwork ourselves and run ourselves into the ground. And that rest is a gift in itself. That period of rest is a gift, and we must acknowledge that.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It's one of the most important things because in the old covenant, they came through the law, they came through their efforts, they came through what they did that was good,
mm-hmm.
and God doesn't want us coming that way.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want our labors. He wants us to enter in through Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. Something that came out in that study was when God completed Spirit, and he said, and then there was rest, that God didn't need to take the rest. He actually gave us the
uh-huh.
gift of rest. He let it be known that, yeah, you're going to work, but then I want a day for you to rest. God wasn't worn out. That rest was meant for us, and that was another instruction for us. So when I looked at it that way, it was almost like what the young lady was telling you, not to feel guilty when you get those times
right.
of rest.
Right, don't feel like you're wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when I'm in a rest, I don't want to rest. I'm that kind of person. I just like to go. I like to do. I like to run to the park. I like to do all these things. But the Lord wants you to stop.
Yeah.
Slow time. Stop.
Yes.
And when you stop, you have to focus. Mm-hmm. You're at the stop sign. Sometimes we need to refocus.
Absolutely.
Where we're going, what we're doing, and are we hearing him?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to get bound up in our labor,
mm-hmm.
which, again,
spend time with him
in the
mm-hmm.
nostrils of God,
mm-hmm.
a most righteous deed.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to keep
yeah.
us on our destination
yeah.
of what each one of us is here for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
We have something to complete before we hit our final destination,
mm-hmm.
and we must go his way.
Absolutely.
You
he won't have it any other way.
One yeah. way. And that makes me think of, how do we get to the Father? Through the Son.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. When you see that sign, if you're traveling on the highway that says rest area ahead, I mean, what happens there, you can actually pull up by the road. Maybe you were sleepy and that head was starting to bob. You can get refueled, refreshed.
Yes. Yes.
That's what it's
that's
for.
What it's,
yes.
It's
yes.
the time to get back in the presence of our Father
yes.
and let him pour back into
Amen.
Us.
Yeah. That's why it's such a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The refueling station of it.
Amen.
Rest area.
Re-energize.
I like that one. What
Amen.
Else do you have?
Again, I like in Hebrews where it says, Hebrews 3:12 says, take heed, my brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And that word evil there means full of labors. See, our labors, we don't want to have a heart of unbelief. Again,
yeah.
we can't forget the road sign, and what keeps our car fueled up is faith.
Mm-hmm.
It is by faith that we enter in. And then Hebrews 4:1 says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. So that rest, let me just say some of the words. It's a calming when we're at that rest. It's an abode. I'm in Christ. He's in me. We're fellowshipping, we're talking. I'm not worried about all these things in life that take me out or about my children because I'm in him, he's in me. I've dedicated them to him,
mm-hmm.
and he takes care of them and brings them back. I can trust God. I can
Amen.
Trust in the living God.
Amen.
The winds are blowing. The winds are blowing while I'm in the rest. The Spirit of God is moving and working. This is where God dwells. He dwells in the rest.
Absolutely.
He
yes.
dwells there,
yeah.
communing with us.
What does that, do you take a day of rest? Have you even, you know, say, like, I'm going to set aside a day of rest, or is it something that you just allow the body to say, I just need rest, I'm just, or the mind, like you say, thinking about things that are troubling you, or not even troubling you, but just concerned about your kids or whatever. Do you set aside a day, or you just kind of, whenever it's time to shut down, you just know?
Well, on my journey, right now, on my journey, I'm in a place where he's wanting me to rest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there's some promises that God told me, like 30 years ago, that I would do, okay? And so I'm still in that rest of trusting him
okay.
for that thing to come about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can feel it in your spirit, oh, it's here, and you're going to do it. And then you go to do it, and then all of a sudden it's like, wait, is it here? Is it here? But he's wanting you to get to that place where that vision that he gave you of that dies totally. You're in a rest for him to bring it about. You understand what I'm
so
saying?
I was going to ask you as a follow-up question. So what is that like for you? You said, I mean, I don't know if you want to share it, but,
yeah.
you know, God has told you to rest. And I know oftentimes people who are working in ministry, sometimes you're giving so much of yourself. You know, you may be at one speaking engagement to the next, especially with, you know, being responsible for a church. What does that rest look like for you? I mean, do you, you know, shut down for some days or so? Or is it just a particular project that God is saying, I need you to rest? I need
right.
you to stop doing all the work and let me handle it.
What I'm thinking that, what I'm talking about the rest here is I don't take a particular day And sometimes those days just fall, mm-hmm. and I don't have anything to do that day. And I'm like, you know, if it snowed, oh, I can't do anything. And I just lounge around. Or God makes time for us to have personal time with our family where that rest comes in. But as far as me just to go looking for a day that I can rest, I really don't. He's teaching me how to rest in Him in different ways of waiting, because love is patient. It waits for the promise. We inherit all the promises that He's spoken to us about all the things in life that we would have. We're waiting for that. They're inherited through faith and patience. And in that is giving up me trying to do all those things. And man, he has struggled.
There was a lady in the class, and she said, "I'm learning how to breathe."
Amen.
I'm trying to learn how to breathe.
Well, I'm hearing you say it's about the striving and not doing that anymore.
Right.
Not striving. So this. So what you were saying about the promise that you've been waiting on, he. I think your words were, he's teaching me not to go after it.
Yes, that's exactly
right. No, you're right. That's what I heard you say. I'm not going after that promise. He's going to bring it to me in his own good time. So I'm not striving to get there or trying to make it happen. I'm just resting.
Amen. Amen. See, and back again, Demetrius, faith is not striving. Faith is surrendering to God, and when we surrender to God, we're manifesting humility inside of us, and we're having the attitude of being poor in the spirit. Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. I'm having the attitude, and I'm coming to prayer. I'm waiting on you, God. I depend on you for this to happen.
Okay.
And as long as I need to just sit and wait, I will, Lord. I won't get anxious. I won't run to the side. I won't sit down and get mad and not believe you and not enter in because of my unbelief and my labors. But I will enter into your rest by just knowing, God, you're there.
So your act of rest is being patient. And waiting.
Yes, that's where I'm at. And I know I'm really close to that door. I'm really, really close. You know what I'm saying? And when I'm looking at it, I'm still seeing that, I can't see this thing, but does faith see?
Come on.
Faith is the unseen world.
So can we say
it's there?
And even in that rest and giving it to God, it's just refocusing and not so much being concerned about whatever that promise is and just going on about your daily business of doing other, you know, whatever it is that you have going on.
It would be
on.
Like stopping and being still and knowing that He's God and focusing where He wants me to focus and let Him bring me to.
Peace and just knowing. Peace.
I like that you added that in. Just stop and know.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I love the rest. I love the rest in that way. I love the rest and not being so troubled about certain things, that rest. And I love the biblical rest, too, you know. I love being able to.
Amen.
And not always feel guilty that,
right.
I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that.
Yes.
And just sit your butt down, it'll get done.
Amen. Amen. One thing he doesn't want us to walk in is he doesn't want us to walk in condemnation, shame, and guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Those are three things to remember. And condemnation is, you know, you're always blaming yourself or you're damning yourself. He doesn't want us walking in that. He didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world.
Absolutely.
He loves the world. He wants us free. He doesn't want us in shame. Shame says, I'm still the same. And you don't believe that you've even been forgiven. And He has forgiven all your past, present, and future sins. We can't focus on sin. We can't be a sin-focused.
You know what? I'm glad you. Can you say that again?
Yes. You can't be sin-focused.
Yes.
You can't.
I love that you said that because I was just telling that to a friend, you know, a time ago, like, don't worry about, somebody had asked me about losing your salvation. And I'm like, why are you focusing on losing your salvation? First of all, you can't, God is not an Indian giver. But stop focusing on that. Focus on the love that God has for you. And like you said, the promise, the purpose, all of that. Why are you focusing on messing up?
Right.
Because
you're sin focused.
Yes.
The law is sin focused.
Mm-hmm.
But God wants us to be focused on who we are.
Absolutely. We're not saved to be in bondage, worrying about all of that.
If I had to give a sign to this one, it would definitely be a U-turn sign. Amen.
Yeah.
I can see a U-turn right there.
Amen.
I'm going in the direction, going with my feelings, because I didn't do what I did. So there's guilt and condemnation, but he allows U-turn right here.
Yeah, I love it. And guilt, not being in, stuck in that guilt. God does not want us to be walking around guilt, feeling guilt all the time. He's taking that burden. He's put it in the sea of forgiveness.
Yes.
So why are we not bringing it up?
Yes.
Why are we constantly be? But, you know, people struggle with that.
Right.
People really struggle with that.
They do.
Then we see depression and all types of things manifest
because
they're not allowing themselves to release something that God has already forgiven them for.
Right. Yeah. See, what they don't realize is that God, all the sins of the world on his son.
Absolutely.
How many times?
Once and for all.
Yes.
Amen.
One and done.
It's done.
One and
done.
Sin
has been done with, okay? And that's what the church doesn't teach usually. There's probably lots of churches out there that do teach that.
Mm-hmm.
But once you realize that sin has been done with, you've been forgiven. It's thrown in the sea of forgetfulness.
It's there.
The only thing you have to do now in life is rethink, which is repentance, means to rethink your way.
Yes.
The journey.
Stay focused.
Refocus.
Yes.
And line it up with God.
Yes.
Line it up with the faith and the place and the destination that he's sending you to.
Yes,
the place
absolutely.
That he's sending you to.
Mm-hmm.
And you listen and obey him. Obeying is effortless again.
Mm-hmm.
Yielding is effortless again. So on the journey, all we have to do is rethink some wrong thoughts, like you're sharing that
mm-hmm.
people have in their minds.
Mm-hmm.
They think God's going to punish them, that he's always looking at their sins, but they don't realize he's not looking at that. So if you're in Christ,
he had a plan for that.
Christ in you,
yeah.
And the sins have washed your mind, the blood covered it.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We are saved. We are not to walk around saved, living in bondage.
Amen.
We're not to walk around like that.
No.
I love it.
And we're not saved sinners.
Yes.
We are no longer sinners. We are sons.
Mm-hmm. And daughters of God.
Mm-hmm. That is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
We all should be a powerhouse.
Yes.
We all are sons and daughters of the Most High.
You heard me say, I love the seat I'm sitting in.
I do.
I love it.
Yes.
I love it. I'm
yes.
turning 40 in a couple of weeks now.
You're even 40.
I'm like, bring it on, 40. I love it because I love where I'm sitting right now, and I'm sitting in God's grace.
Amen.
I love it.
Amen.
I just love it.
You are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both are. Y'all are
yes.
amazing.
Wow. I'm loving this conversation, and the signs just keep popping in my head.
What you got now?
Well, when you're talking about you're going in this direction and all that, a big old do not enter sign just came up. Like, don't even go there. Do not enter. driving from work or school or the store, when you see the sign, like, God speaks. Oh,
wrong.
Amen.
You know, I hope people will go on your Facebook page or on Ministry Along the Way's Facebook page and let us know about the signs that you observed in the, you know, upcoming days. And let us know about that and how did God speak to you,
because
you know, with those
signs.
God speaks.
Yes, he really does.
Even when we're not looking for the
compass
direction,
and there he is. And that's what we gotta be looking for. Just to give you one little testimony, I was on the road, and twice I'm going to my girlfriend's house, and twice I get off at the wrong exit. And so the Lord spoke to me, and he said, when we don't focus, we repeat the same mistake
over and over. I piggyback you on that one. I broke a window bagging up one time in my other sister's parking lot, and it was a tree behind me, and I kept bagging up, and it was dark. Now, I knew I was in that part. Like, I just felt I was in there, and it was some things that I was going through, and I was talking to God about those things. And I kept bagging up, and all of a sudden I hear, boosh, the pressure, you know, burst, the window burst. I backed into the tree, and God was like, see, you keep wanting to go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You keep wanting to go backwards.
Right in that moment.
And I sit in the car and I go, I don't have money to pay for this window. You know, this is just, I don't want to pay for this. And then I started laughing immediately because God, why you keep wanting to go backwards? I got the window fixed the very next day, but it's a constant reminder of sometimes, and literally God was trying to push me forward, you know, with something I was dealing with. And that was a pricey I kept wanting to.
Well,
that was funny when you mentioned that.
And you see, he loves you. A righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets up and he goes forward.
Goes forward.
But that's what he's trying to show you. Just go forward. No matter how many times you fall, get up and keep going. Don't sit on the sidelines.
Uh-huh.
And you wouldn't do that now,
would you?
You're going
forward. I'm going forward. That was $200 worth of... And, you know, and people would laugh and say, you just broke a window. You just don't understand. When you go to God for something, you know, over and over again.
Yeah.
And he does speak to us in different ways, and I believe that was for me.
Amen.
Not necessarily meaning people windows are going around getting bust or broken or whatever, but that was for me, and I needed that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I have a question about a sign. I just wonder what this speaks to you. A dead end sign. What does a dead end sign say to you? Right at the end of the street, there is no more roadway access. You can't go any further than this point.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
At end.
When I think about it and when I saw the picture of it, I just thought about spinning my wheels on something that maybe God has spoken. Like, no, this isn't for you. It's a closed door. So sometimes I know I found myself maybe trying to knock down a door that was supposed to be closed, open a door that should have been open, or trying to close one that should have been open, and the guy was doing it the whole time. So when I saw that dead end sign, that's what it spoke to me about. Like, there are some areas and some efforts in life that he's just not in.
Yeah.
And thank goodness.
So you can't go any further, and I'm trying to knock this door down and make it happen. It's like, no, it ends right here.
Yeah. And I think of it too, Demetria, as you're saying that, as you're talking, I'm just seeing dead end as if you go down that road and you step outside of my grace and outside of my will, you're headed down a dead path.
Mm-hmm.
That death can be physical, spiritual death.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I don't want to go back to that. And I've lived a dead life, even when it seemed happy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, partying, having fun. I'm a pretty upbeat person. However, I lived a dead life, and now it's full of life.
Yeah.
That peace that people were talking about, that grace, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So when I think about that dead end sign, it's a constant reminder. I don't want to go. I was living dead ends you know, the majority of my life. I don't want to go that way.
You know, along with what you're saying, that there might be some people listening, and you know that it's time to call it to an end.
this direction or this thing that you're saying, like you're out looking for the next party and all this. You know it's time for life to change.
Right.
You know that God's been pricking your heart, speaking to you. It's time to go in another direction.
Go ahead. Well, you know what I just thought of? I just got something. Didn't have something in the beginning, but it's where I'm at in my life right now with the things that God told me 30 years ago. The vision that I want to see it happen is dead. And now he's covering it about. That's what I just thought of when you said
the vision that
it could be that too.
A change.
Right.
A change.
Right.
Where once this is what was before you.
Right.
Now he's doing something new. I just thought about Moses and Joshua. My servant Moses is dead. He's dead now. Joshua.
Yes.
On the path on the baton.
Now
there's a new leader. I'm doing something new.
Something new.
Well, Abraham and Sarah is a perfect example. Abraham was over 100 years old, and the womb was dead.
Closed.
And God brought about in Sarah
a whole
promised son.
Right.
The promised son, Isaac. You know, so we come to the end of ourselves and our effort. We move on into the life and the path of God.
Yes. We've got to sell.
So
right
there.
It doesn't always have to be a bad thing.
No.
You know, like I said, I look at it sometimes as a warning. You just explained dying of old self, of always this
new
life.
Yes. We're dead. We got to remember that.
Galatians 2:20.
We
crucified. We crucified. And I would say, in that whole life of partying, it wasn't necessarily just the partying. It was just I was doing stuff without God involved in it.
Yeah.
It was just without Him.
Yeah.
I mean, and I still, have gatherings and go to, functions.
But it's
different now.
It's
different. You know, I expect to, when I go, I'll go to a place and I expect to have this conversation with someone in the midst of music and everything, and somebody may just want to talk. I expect those experiences, and that's where God has me now, like in the midst of whatever, functions or parties can go, are going on, I expect those encounters now.
Yes.
So it's like my life is happier, joyful, more joyful because I've included Him.
The last thing I guess that I would have is like, man, I'm a walker. I love to walk. So on the journey, I asked God one day because you got to remember that the road signs are about faith, all of them are, when you see them, keep right. That's a sign of faith.
Okay.
So I asked the Lord one day, I said, Lord, he said, I'm going to show you. I didn't ask anything. He said, I'm going to show you a man of faith on your journey. And that was not what I thought to be. And there was this 6-foot-tall black man walking on the path. And he was walking so slow. And I said, that's him? And God said, yes, that's him. And then I heard him breathing and coughing, and I heard asthma. And I said, God, he's got asthma. And God said, he's a man of faith. He trusts me. He trusts me. He said, don't ever question anything you see that doesn't look right. That man trusts me. And when I walked by him, I said, you're a man of faith. And he said to me, lady, don't ever get off the course.
Oh, wow.
He said, stay the course. So I say, stay the course.
See what I mean?
And keep right. Don't ever get off this course for anything in life that look right. Trust God.
Wow.
Trust God.
I'll receive that. I'm taking
that. I've grabbed it already. Yeah, I've grabbed it.
We trust Him with every fiber of our being.
Surrender. Yeah.
We lean on Him.
For everything.
That's our attitude.
Right.
No matter what.
For everything.
Yeah. In Hebrews, it said that all of them that ran the race, they all died without seeing the promise, but they saw it from afar.
Yes, they did.
Don't ever question Him. Just receive. Receive it. He said it. It's true. God's not a liar, and that's the path.
Go the path.
Yes, in the core.
Wow. We're going to hold right there. This is wonderful, Mindy. I'm so glad that you're able to join us.
Oh,
guys, we're going to take a break. This is Ministry Along the Way. I'm just at awe. Welcome back. Welcome back. We are Ministry Along the Way. I am your host, Tanyelle, and
I'm her co-host, Demetria.
What are we talking about?
Today we're talking about Life Under Construction, Road Signs to Victory,
okay.
With our special guest, Mindy Salinger, and Mindy's husband, Terry. We wanted to say hello to you and thank you for listening. And tonight we appreciate it so much. And you too, Janet.
Janet Neumeyer. Yes.
We're sending shouts out. Shout out to Janet.
We would love to hear from you. No pressure, but if you want to talk, tell us a road sign that's spoken to you or whatever else you want to say. Just chat with us for a minute. Push the number one on your handset. We want to hear your voice. If you want to.
We kind of have our own chit-chatter going on, excuse me, when we're taking a break.
Is that Janet?
I can hold that. Janet.
I love my Mindy Salinger. She's a blessing to my life.
Hi, Janet.
Hey, Janet.
Hi, thank you.
Number up there. You have anything you want to say?
Just that, you know, God sheds his love abroad in our heart, and Mindy and I have a connection about how that's a gusher, and, you know, he gushes his love upon us, and he loves us so much. I've been through a lot in my life, and his grace has sustained me, even when I wasn't right. He still loves me, and that's what people need to know, that It's by the blood of Jesus and not by our own works. He is an awesome God.
Hey, yes,
yes.
He is.
And that's
thank
something.
You.
Was Janet at your church the night that I went? Her voice sounds familiar to me.
Yes, she was.
I
was
thought
at
so.
The table.
The
yes.
voice sounds very familiar to me, Janet. And I think she was at the conference too.
She was. She
I remember
was.
Your face. I can see your face right now.
Uh-huh.
I love what you just said. It brought me back to the night that I visited. And I know we read that while we were yet enemies
yes.
of God. He died for us while we were yet
yes,
his enemies.
Yes, yes.
So, Janet, you're bringing that back to me. That who does that? Who
yes.
does that but a loving God?
Amen.
You know, we don't have that capacity except that he gives us grace to love.
Amen.
We don't love except
wow.
that he gives the
pours
that
in.
Yes,
yes.
Janet, thank you.
Thank
yes.
you so
thank
much,
you,
for
Janet.
Calling.
Yes, I love you, Janet.
Bye.
Love you.
Bye.
Good
night.
One common thing we keep saying, and it keeps coming up, is grace.
Amen.
God's grace is truly sufficient.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. Yes, yes. And his grace is his influence upon
mm-hmm.
our heart to do what he wants us to do. I love, you know, we'll do it because that influence just, you can't get away from it. The way he looks at you, the way he loves you.
What he thinks about
yes,
us.
Yes, yes. And when you begin to focus on it. And he's the one that wills in us to do right. In 1
right.
Thessalonians,
mm-hmm.
it talks about that.
We just don't have that capacity on our own.
Right, right. He wills that in us, and he's
yes.
the one that causes us to do it. Grace means his favor.
Mm-hmm.
Grace is the power to do what you cannot do. It's God's grace that does these things in us. It's absolutely breathtaking that God would see us as sinners and die for us and give us a way into the Father and make us right and not even
and
bring
when
nothing
he looks
up.
At us, he no longer sees the sinner.
Yes.
Love. That's love.
Amen. It is love.
Mm-hmm.
This is the deepest form of love.
We have these off radio conversations and we were talking about something and I know you wanted to possibly bring it up when you know when we got back on air.
Yes,
does
yes.
it? You still want to
yes,
share
yes,
that with us?
Yes, yes, I do. And we were talking about our journey, and we were talking about staying the course. And on the course, one day when I was on the course, because I am a walker, and that's where I meet God. I meet him in the park, and I meet him other places too, because he shows up places sometimes
right.
that I'm not expecting him, like on the road, but. One day I went into the forest in a vision type thing. I had a vision, and it was such a safe place. And if you think about the forest, there's lots of danger in the forest. I mean, there's wild animals in the forest, but there was no danger around me at all. And he brought me back to the garden. He brought me back to Adam and Eve. And they were in a perfect state at one time until they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that was the only thing at the time that God said that they could not eat from
right.
was that tree. And to me today, that tree represents the law. That represents good and evil, right and wrong. See, and we're entering in and being reconciled to the Father through the grace of God,
mm-hmm.
not through the law. So we don't focus on bad, good, right, wrong. We focus on our journey, in journeying just like he created it in the beginning, where Adam and Eve didn't even know that they were naked. They didn't even know right or wrong. And when Jesus came and he died and he took all our sins and he opened up the heavens and the veil was torn, it was so that we could be back in that state. The state and the ministry we have today is the ministry of reconciliation.
Yes.
Through Jesus Christ, we are able to get to the Father.
Mm.
We're able to speak to the Father. We're able to know the Father. We're able for our families to be reconciled back to God through Jesus. And he brings relationships and all of that back together by his grace effortlessly. So you can be in that state today if you stay believing right, thinking right. You're not a saved sinner. Amen.
Amen.
You are a son. You are a daughter. You're walking in freedom. Now, this is a big one. I would be shot out of churches for saying this, and some people just can't stand the thought that we could live a sinless life. When you're not thinking about right and wrong, and when you're not focused on sin, and you know that the sin that you committed was paid for once and for all, that's not your journey anymore.
Yeah, it's not to focus on the sin.
That's right.
And basically, that's what you're saying. Stop worrying about messing up.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'm like,
reconcile.
Yeah, you know, I say sometimes, you know, Satan, he's good with that. Like, he tries to keep us, you know, in that.
Distracted
with that. But remember when? And I'm like, dude, do you know who I am? I really have those kind of conversations. Do you know who I am? I'm a child of God. Go sit down somewhere. I don't want to hear that. You know, because he'll try to bring those old things back to remembrance.
Yeah.
You know, when God allows us to think about our old more times than none, it's the testimony that's going to deliver someone else.
Yeah.
So when you're sharing some of your old stuff or what have you, you're sharing that in godly love, so that it can help someone else, you know, grow closer to the Savior. And it's not to have us somewhere in a corner, you know, crying, oh, I remember when I used to be.
No.
That's not how God operates. If you ever feel like that, that's the work of the devil.
That's correct. That is absolutely right. Because we overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb.
Absolutely.
Our minds have been washed. Our hearts are new. We've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We're a new man. We're in a different state. We've been reconciled to the Father. We have an open heaven. We bring heaven on earth.
I'm going to say hallelujah.
On earth.
We bring
heaven
on earth.
Atmosphere changes when we show up.
Yes.
Because we know whom we believe in.
Yes.
It's a great, powerful God.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes out and they feel the presence. They become where they want Jesus. They're like, oh my God, I've never felt this before.
Mm-hmm.
We get it all the time on the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because we know who
people come up to you, right?
Yeah.
So we show up to them. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we've talked about different types of road signs, those signs that caution us, those that point us in the right direction. And I know there's one that gives us hope. There's some that give us hope. You have one out that gives us great, great hope. And I'm going to say what it is. It's a final destination. But I have a question with that, because I just had a recent conversation with somebody, and this isn't the first one I've had in just a little while, where they're trying to get to heaven. And I said, why are you trying to get to heaven? It's a given. Can you talk on that final destination, Zion?
Yes. Well, we're on this journey here. Everything that I just said about how on our journey, once we get born again, I don't know if your friend's born again that has trouble with that, it's probably not knowing who they are. It's probably not knowing that God paid the price for all their sins once and for all. They're all gone. They're trying in their own efforts to get to heaven. They're trying to be made right in their own selves. And that's not the way we get to heaven, because that falls under a heart of unbelief. But we enter in to the rest and into heaven by believing in God, in Jesus.
But, you know, maybe, and that's why I said early on that it is so important that people spend time with God through His Word.
Yes.
Because it's in there. He gives us that instruction that you don't have to keep trying to figure out your way to heaven.
Yeah,
you
don't
said
work
it's only
out there.
One way.
Right.
And that's through
the Son.
All right.
Jesus.
And
that's
so
how you get there.
That's how you get there.
No man comes to the Father except through the Son.
And when you know that, you know that, you know that, you know that, you walk around with that boldness.
Amen.
That I know where I'm going.
Amen.
I'm on this journey. Sometimes it looks a little, you know, foggy out there. You know, sometimes the road is a little crooked.
Yes.
But if I stay focused and refocus or U-turn and, or, you know, get back on track.
Right.
That, you know, I'm going to live this life in life and abundantly, like just live it to its fullest. But even with those mistakes, I still know where I'm going.
Amen.
The mistakes may happen, but I still know where I'm going.
And you have to know that you know that you know that you know that.
Yes. And but a lot of people are walking around not realizing that.
There's two things up in here. I'm trying to get to heaven, and I'm trying to live right.
Right, right. That's all man's effort. And that's not how we get there. We get there effortlessly. Through his grace. For Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for it's by grace, through faith, that we are saved. It's not of ourselves, but it's a gift of God that no man can boast. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So he brings us through grace. He brings us in through faith. And that's the way to enter in.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer I die. And that's the problem with man today. Man's trying in all his works. If I do all this, I'm going to make it. And they've missed the point. That's old covenant, new covenant is now we're living by grace, and there's so much more.
And sometimes men, I'm sorry, Demetria, sometimes they're not even aware of the old covenant. I mean, people are not even aware of that. They're not aware of the law that you're talking about. I mean,
right.
Some people are not. People just go based on, I don't know, what grandmama said or what somebody said, and
right.
I have to do all of this to get to heaven.
Right.
But
it's being religious.
Yeah, and they're not even aware of the old or the new.
Right.
I mean,
right.
We have to be honest here, and that's why it is so important to study and to get to know God for yourself.
Right. Right.
So that you can develop that relationship and have that assurance that you know where you're going.
But to the people that I've spoken with recently who made these statements, it's almost like, what do you mean you're not trying to live right? Because I've just said I'm not trying to live right. I want to live a life pleasing to my Father who saved me, and I'm going to, that's my heart right now. That's what I want to do. I want to please him. But no, I'm not trying to live right. And I get that side eye look, what are you talking about? You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
You know what I'm talking about. I can see that. You cannot do not one other thing that's not making love.
That's what I mean.
Amen.
You can fall. You can do. He's right there to pick you back up.
Amen.
He's right there.
And he's not going to love you any less.
No.
No. No.
No. Not at all.
No.
Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah.
He's right there. He is right there to pick you back up and teaches you through the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Teaches you lessons through the fall, I should say. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
This has been good.
Yeah.
Mindy, we're going to give this to you in our last 7 minutes or so. Anything else out there that you want for folks to know about the under construction process or the signs or just something that God has placed on your heart?
Well, I just like while you're on the journey, my advice to you would be while you're journeying on this, you have to know how much God loves you. You have to receive his love in while you're journeying along the way, because that's one thing that has helped me. This last year, I have learned how much God really loves me. I have. And I'm receiving his love for me. You know what I'm saying? Like I never have before. You know, it says that the perfect love of God drives out all the fear out of you. He drives it completely out of you. And when that process begins, what begins to happen is I said to God, you're scaring me. Because the love just blows me away.
It's a little overwhelming.
Isn't it?
It is. Yes.
It is overwhelming.
Yes.
His love for mankind.
Yes.
John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So that word world means he loved the ungodly multitude.
Yes.
He died for those that were against him and railed at him. He wasn't mad at them. That love turned some of those people to him. That's an incredible love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we don't know, because we've been beat up all our lives with condemnation and damnation.
Right.
And that shouldn't become as an impulsive at all.
It's supposed to be the gospel when the gospel is good news.
Yeah, it's not bad
news.
The
gospel is angry.
I don't think that's good news. No, it's not good news. And then the good news is that he's not mad at us no more. It's the gospel of grace. And today you hear, you know, oh, if you're preaching the gospel of grace, then you're living, you know, most people take it today that you're living a sinful life, and that's why they don't like the gospel of grace, but they've missed the point. When Paul talks about in Galatians, he told the Galatians, oh, you foolish Galatians, why are you turning back to the law?
Why
have you forsaken the grace, the gospel of grace, and turning
that
back?
That made it so easy for us.
Yes,
and that's
is.
What he's saying. That's what Paul was saying.
I love Paul.
And even through God's anger. Even through God's anger, he shows his love.
Yeah.
Because even through that chastisement, he shows his love. He's only angry because we're not we're just not receiving his fullness, his grace, and all that. We're not just wanting to accept what he has for us. So, yeah, he shows that emotion of anger. But it's out of love. If God didn't care, he wouldn't show any emotion. So even in that anger, he still loves us even so. And so I tell him, thank you for the correction. Thank you for correcting me.
But today he's not mad at you no more. He's not mad and angry with mankind no more. He put that on his son. He put all the anger, all the wrath on his son.
Mm-hmm.
He's not really mad anymore. See, and so today they say that, the gospel of grace is a false gospel. And back then, if the gospel of grace is the gospel, it's
right.
Not a false gospel. He said, if any other man preaching, even an angel from heaven preached to you the wrong gospel, don't believe him. If he says the gospel of grace is not right.
It is right. It is right. And the only reason, because I'm an Old Testament reader, and I love the Old Testament too, and
yeah.
I just saw even God's love, even through those acts. I saw his love. I saw when he turned his face, I saw his love through that.
Mm-hmm.
And I see his love even through bringing Jesus Christ to be our Savior, you know.
Well, in the Old Covenant, you got to realize in the Old Covenant, he was mad. He was angry.
Mm-hmm.
He wiped people out. He killed
yes.
them.
Yes, yes.
But he no longer does that
mm-hmm.
anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice was made with his son.
Mm-hmm.
So when we don't believe what his son has truly done for us and we're trying to come in by efforts, that displeases God. That's saying to God, you don't believe what my son did.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You don't believe what I did. You don't believe what I did through my son.
Right. Right. That's the only problem that we have here. It's the problem of unbelief of what
Christ
did
for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was enough.
And it was enough. That's right.
Nothing more to be done.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. It satisfied him. Jesus, he was satisfied with what his son did.
I just was such an awesome thought.
Surely there's something I need to do.
Yes.
There has to be something. I do need to bring a sacrifice or some kind of an offering or some kind of a something.
Right.
To take for this.
Right. But he was satisfied with what his son did.
Mm-hmm.
The rainbow, all of that. He will never wipe out his son. He will never be mad at man again. It's through his son.
It's an awesome son.
Yeah,
so I guess our prayer is that people realize that more and that they develop that relationship
yeah.
with Christ to know that, to feel
yeah.
that love
Amen.
That the three of us,
Amen.
That we feel. That we are sure it's there and it's not going anywhere.
Well, today I do know that it's hitting the body of Christ. The love of God is hitting. His grace is hitting the body of Christ. There's going to be a revival of his love, about his grace. It's about him. It's about Jesus. God is going to bring the multitudes in. He's fixing his bride right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's fixing her, and he's getting her ready. He's preparing her for what he's going to bring in, that we can minister out of the pure heart of love and grace and power, not of ourselves, but all of him. It's from the least to the greatest of people.
Thank you so much, Mindy,
yes.
for joining us
yes.
on Ministry Along the Way Radio. We've had an awesome time. Thank you for sharing the road signs that have spoken to you.
Yeah.
continue to read the road signs, let God continue you, and stay the course. Yeah. That's what I'm leaving with. Stay the course.